Good morning. All right. Thank you for the invitation today. As she said, I am Jess Weiner. This is my first year in the Puppy Jake program. And this is Stone. And so the first question you want to know is, where did that name come from? And so all of our dogs are sponsored, well, you know, through donations. And her sponsor is the Firestone Bridgestone Company. Therefore, her name is Stone. They got to name her. And she gets to go see their company just in a few weeks. She'll get to go to their company picnic. So I'm going to go over some things about the program itself, and then we'll talk some more about Stone, and then we'll have some Q&A. So let's go ahead and get started. And this, my thumbs up, is not some odd thing I'm doing, but it's my cue to flip the slide. So we want to move on. Thank you. So you're going to see Stone. She's going to lay down and then sit up multiple times, I'm guessing, because what I'm holding on my hip here, is this really loud? It's okay? Okay. What I'm holding on my hip are her kibble. It's her food. The only way she gets food is from my hand. She does not eat food from a bowl. So what she's doing is she knows if she does her skills and behaves, all through the day I'm giving her kibble. And so she gets about 3.5 cups of food a day from my hand. And then if I do give her food any other way than from my hand, it comes from something that causes her to be actively involved, her mind thinking. So sometimes she gets food puzzles or a treat ball where she has to be actively involved. So what she's doing when she sits up and sits back down, being a puppy of 5 months old, she's going, what else can I do to get that food out of her hand? And every time I sit down or lay down, she's likely to throw some kibble in my mouth. So that's what she's going to do. Eventually, as she grows more in the program, she'll stay in one or the other. But she is still very young, and she's learning all of her skills, although she's doing incredibly well with what she does know. So that was Stone on July 4th. And all right, July 4th, she was just about 12 weeks there. So already doing really well with the parade noise behind her. It was going right behind her, and she was settled looking at me. So that's the picture you see there. Okay, so the basics about the program. Puppy Jake is a 501c3. We're a nonprofit organization. We've been founded for 6 years, and we're dedicated to providing professionally trained service dogs to wounded military veterans. Now, you'll know if you go look on our website, we do sometimes get the question of, do we provide service dogs to any veteran? And while yes, any veteran can apply for a dog, our priority is given to wounded veterans. So what do our dogs assist with? One of the biggest things that encouraged me to get involved with this program was figuring that out. What did our dogs really do to help the veteran? Because while our veterans do come back with serious physical issues, they also come back more prominently with PTSD, and that we have 23 veterans a day that we lose to the effects of PTSD through suicide. So what can we do to help with that? And that's what these dogs do. So these dogs will learn to assist a veteran with PTSD. They will know their veteran's stress signals. They will see their physical signals of PTSD. They will even wake them up out of a night terror if a veteran is dealing with PTSD in that way. So they'll assist with personal space, and not in a guarding way, but if you were standing too close to me, then Stone would get in between us, just so that as a veteran I would know that that person's not going to get any closer because my service dog is in between. Pressure therapy, interrupting flashbacks, navigating crowds are all PTSD type supports. And then of course mobility. So our veterans, you know, do certainly come back with physical issues. And so our dogs will handle turning on and turning off lights. They will also close doors, handle drawers, pick up items and bring them to a veteran. So they'll have many of those things. They'll go through store doors and they'll go hit the handicap button so that the doors will automatically open. So there's a variety of things that our dogs are trained to do over a 2-year period. We have 23 dogs currently already working with their veterans, meaning they have been placed with their veteran or are actively working dogs. And then 32 dogs are currently in our program at various stages, and we have 6 more entering here this fall. Okay. All right, so we train Golden Retrievers, we train Labs, and German Shepherds. She is a Goldador, And we have since just recently been adding the litters of Goldadors. I believe she's the second litter. And we have also just started 3 mixed breed shelter dogs. And so one of my questions to the program was, why aren't we doing shelter dogs for all of them? Isn't that a win-win situation? And a great answer was, we have to guarantee the health of our dogs. We don't want to give a veteran a dog that they're then going to have to incur expenses and the additional stress of that dog's health. So we try to be very careful with making sure that we can do the best we can to not let the health of a dog be a concern to a veteran, which is why we've been very careful about getting into the shelter dogs. But we are starting that, and we have 3 dogs in the program. As far as our purebred dogs, they are purchased from reputable breeders, and they're brought in at 8 weeks. What we do is we have our lead trainer, they go to the dogs while they are within their 8-week period, and they do an assessment, which I find really impressive. We were actually, I believe, supposed to get 4 dogs out of her litter, and we got 3. And it's because when our trainers go and assess that litter, they're going to do a certain number of skills that they're looking for. And I don't even know if I'd call them skills, it's more of just inherent temperament type attributes they're looking for. So they're going to drop something really loud, say a loud book. And they're going to see, you know, they're going to expect all the dogs to scatter for a minute, but which dogs will not come back and which ones will. They're going to come back and they're going to look, what was that? They're not going to be so afraid that they're, you know, going to be standoff the whole time. So there's a series of skills, sit, that they're looking for. The parents have also, what are they laughing at? You'll see her toys up here too. She specially picked those out at a garage sale for herself. So they come with her. And then also the parents of puppies have to also clear, you know, the hips, eyes, heart, elbow type physical attributes, again, to make sure we can do our best to give a veteran a very healthy dog. Okay, so I don't know if this will surprise you or be expected, but it takes about $20,000 to raise a dog. Therefore, it's imperative that we have community support. Not a lot of us are sitting around with that money ready to go. So we really depend on the community and companies like Bridgestone Firestone, who sponsored her, in order to bring a dog into the program. And we make sure that money is in the program bank before we start a dog. It's not the cost of actually getting the dog that is that high. We do pay for the dogs we bring in from breeders. But it's the cost of the training. We cover all medical care. We cover all the dog food. They go on training trips because our dogs need to know how to go into every situation a veteran might go into. They'll go on planes. They'll go on car rides. They'll go to ball games and go to large cities. So we take them through multiple experiences and exposures over the 2 years, and we pay for those experiences to make sure that they are very well-rounded. We need them to be around loud noises. We need to, you know, them to be around different types of people in different environments, different lights, different settings. And so it does come up to about $20,000 by the time we're done of a 2-year program. Good girl. Okay, so, we can go back. There we go. No problem. All right, so foster families raise and train our dogs for, like it says, about 18 to 24 months. What happens is that we start these dogs at 8 weeks. I got her at 9 weeks, and she started training at 10 weeks. So we go for 18 to 24 months, and at 18 months, but about 6 months before she's going to be placed with her veteran, the program pairs her. So she will be paired with the veteran she's going to go to at approximately 18 months. And the reason we do that, even though I won't know who the veteran is and the veteran won't know which dog they're getting, we do that so that the foundation can assess the needs of that veteran. And then we spend the next 6 months before she goes to that veteran permanently honing her skills to exactly what that veteran is going to need. Okay? We're all volunteers if we're fostering. We also have several other volunteer opportunities. My personal favorite in Lifeline are the puppy sitters. And whenever I need to be somewhere that I cannot have her with me, if I need to go on a trip or work, you know, business trip, whatever it is, she gets to go on a little vacation with a puppy sitter. And we have several of those, but we always need more. So if you just really want to have puppy time, that's an opportunity. We also right now have some Drake students working with those 3 shelter dogs. And they go to the Newton Correction Facility for their foundational training. We're going to check the place out, apparently. Stone. Sit. Sit. Good girl. Down. And the Newton Correction Facility is our partner. So they have the ability to have three dogs with them at any given time. They have a fantastic trainer there who works with inmates, and then our inmates will work with our dogs. And they do really good. If there's a skill we just cannot get through with our dog, they offer their support to really dedicate some time to honing in on a certain skill. Or if we need a place for one of our puppies and we don't yet have a foster, you know, the Newton Correction Facility partners with us in that way. Okay, if you want more information on the financials, you can certainly go to our website for the annual report. We also have the BBB charity accreditation. And recently we received our Assistant Dogs International accreditation, which is a huge accomplishment. We're very proud of that. We currently have over 150 volunteers. And I personally can say that, you know, by volunteering, we all have an enormous satisfaction, not only of, you know, time with our dogs, but how fast they learn. We go every week, once a week. Hers is Tuesday night. We go and we do training. I'm learning just as she is. So the lead trainers in the foundation are teaching us the new skills for that week. We're learning how to train her. And then we spend the rest of the week training that. And then we just continue that in our, you know, our toolbox of skills we work on through the longevity of her time with me. So anyway, it is a family. A lot of our fosters spend a good amount of time together outside of training. We get our dogs together, they get to play. She has two siblings, boys, who we all train together every Tuesday night. The litter stays together. And she, at the beginning, was Miss Bossy out of the litter. But she has since fallen into being a nice sibling. I don't know, I probably should have expected that. The girl out of the group had to set the tone and get them boys under control. She did it. So ways to volunteer. I mentioned the puppy sitter, my personal favorite right now. Of course, myself, a foster family. In order to become a volunteer, whether it be for those two or this becoming, sorry baby, special events, doing PR and media or any donations, if you're an active volunteer in the program, you will have gone through an orientation, which is about a two-hour meeting on a Saturday morning. You will have paired up with one of the foster families, and we will have gone over all of the skills with you just so that you can see them and even use them yourself with our dog for a little bit. Like, on, you know, we just decide what time to get together on an evening or weekend, and you get to learn that way, hands-on. And then you go to what we call a boot camp. And a boot camp is a four-hour session where we go through multiple skills, and then you have that opportunity to really hone in on a couple things that you want to understand about training and fostering. And then when you're done with that boot camp day, you are able to volunteer in any way that you would like to in the volunteer opportunities available with the foundation, from fostering to puppy sitter to, you know, helping with special events. So what is the training about? So it is an extensive training program. It's very regimented in a sense that we know exactly what our dogs need to learn and what they, you know, will learn throughout the two-year period. And we do, I mentioned, our weekly class. Every single foster family and litter is going through a weekly class. And then every week, we learn what our training focuses are. So recently we did the training focus on not jumping at treats. Let's see if I can, I don't know if I have a good one that'll make her do it, but break, sit. Good girl. Yeah. It's a good girl. Okay, down. Oh, there was. So that was our recent one last week or a week before. We learned how to, and it's, of course, it's control, helping her control to not go after things, but to be given things. And she also has exposures. We started exposures from day one. Our first couple of weeks was all about how many things we can expose her to as a puppy, exposing her to sounds of motorcycles, you know, the sounds of water, being near a pool, the sounds, you know, being petted and interacting with people of all ages and ethnicities. We did as many, I mean, even simple things like find someone who's wearing sunglasses, find someone who's wearing a hat, you know, just all, everything, so that we could make sure that she didn't have anything that was, you know, hesitating her around different environments. So exposures is huge, and just like going to a ball field, hearing the speakers, all those things are exposures, because we want them to have had those experiences before they go to their veteran, and they're fully ready for those things without having any fears. We also do quarterly retreats, whereas as a large Puppy Jake family, we're taking all the dogs out together and doing different activities. The last one we spent, I didn't go to that one, I didn't have her yet. But they went out to the farmer's market. You can imagine the exposure at the farmer's market. So that's where they did their retreat, and there was a couple other things they did through that day. It's one Saturday every quarter that they get to go together and do that. And even things like the group going to lunch together to a restaurant. That's an opportunity for training. That's a huge training one, actually, because they all think they like Mexicans, so they will try to help themselves if we don't get them that exposure and train them in that environment. And then finally, the training trips. So we will do two training trips. Actually, the dog will do three. The foster family will do two training trips before she goes to her veteran. And what that means is that we are organized against certain activities during those trips where we leave town. We actually go. The last group went to Minneapolis. Some groups have gone to San Francisco. And she'll have her first one in January. And then she'll have, I don't know how long after she goes on her second one, but one of those will need to be flight, so she knows how to go through an airport and how to, you know, be on a plane. And then her third trip, I actually will not go with her on. It will be with some of the veterans of the program who will take her on my behalf. And the reason we do that is because they need to know that she will perform her skills for people other than me, because that veteran is not going to have worked with her. So that veteran, when he or she gets Stone, you know, she needs to have experience following those same skills, regardless of who it is giving her the commands or just, you know, her daily functions. Okay, so what does it cost a veteran to get a puppy? And the cost of the veteran is $150. They simply pay an application fee, and it is the only cost that the Puppy Jake Foundation passes on to the veteran. Once they get the dog, it does become their financial responsibility for the future care, food, you know, veterinarian care for that dog. But to actually obtain the dog, that's the only cost. They do go through an interview process with our foundation members, and then there will be an in-home visit leading up to a final discussion as to whether that veteran will receive a dog or not. There are certain things that have to be considered to make sure it's a compatible situation. And then finally, the veteran, once approved to receive a dog, will come into Des Moines for a 2-week required training. And during that 2 weeks, they're learning a lot of skills that they need to take home with them and work, you know, use for handling their dog. Okay. All right, so we'll go back to Stone. Miss Stone is 5 months old. Yeah, you. She loves to train. She absolutely loves it. If I was to go outside with her, and if she's not trying to wrestle her sister, then she is going to want me to be training her, because she knows kibble comes with training. She's very food-driven, which is excellent, because that's very helpful for a dog in training. Because now, some other dogs, though, they are triggered better with praise. You know, food's great, but they really love praise. They love being, you know, pet and loved on as their reward. She's food, any kind of food. She loves her peanut butter. So Kongs are our favorite right now. She loves ice cubes. If anyone in the house, well, her grandma did this. Her grandma gave her the first ice cube. And now if anyone tries to get ice out of the water, out of the fridge machine, she comes running, no matter where she is, and she stands there because it's her turn. She wants her ice cube. And she loves her duck toy. She has a toy over there, like the squeaky duck. You know, looks like the hunting toy. She loves that. She loves her pull toy. But she really, really loves to train, and she learns her skills really fast. So that's pretty exciting for me as a foster, and it's very rewarding to learn how to train a skill and work with her one night, and she's got it. And then we just work, you know, continue to reiterate it. But she's really good at her skills. Good girl. So how does she spend her day? What is the life of a service dog in training? She is an early riser. She gets up about 6:30 every day, including today on Saturdays. And the first thing she wants to do is just love on you. Most dogs are just going to be like, get me outside, I need to go. Mm-mm. She wants to just, I think there's the little girls who got some hugs this morning. Down. She just wants to hug, and she wants to love and snuggle for a minute, and then go right on outside. After she takes care of that, we do some training. You know, we might also go for a walk. We might get a Kong with peanut butter. But what you're seeing on her, I'll explain two things I have with me. So this is a clicker. You've probably heard of click training. That's how we do it also. It helps her know what she did that caused the reward to come to her. So instead of just doing a reward, by the time you get the reward to her mouth, the kibble, whatever she did is already out of her mind. She doesn't know. But if you click it, she's now associated. What did I just do with that click? And that click gets me the reward. So we click train. Also, what you're seeing on her face is not a muzzle. I always get asked that. Why is she wearing a muzzle? She's not wearing a muzzle. But it is big, and it can look like a muzzle. What that is, it's called a gentle leader. And dogs, just like her, if you only use her collar around her neck, she'll pull because she wants to go at whatever is exciting around her. And pulling is obviously not good for her, and it's really not fun for me, but dogs will pull. They don't mind doing that. They'll choke themselves doing it. That doesn't bother them. But what they do not like is for their head to be pulled one way or the other. So what that gentle leader does is it allows me to guide her without it causing any strain to her. You know, she won't let her face be turned one way to the other, so with just a gentle move of the leash, she knows where she needs to go, and then no strain is put on her. And that's why it's called the gentle leader. It's not her favorite thing in the world. We use a lot of positive reinforcement with that gentle leader so that she becomes used to it and it just becomes part of her outfit. And she's getting used to it. That one is so big. You usually don't see ones that big on our dogs, but that one's big because it's the most comfortable, and she's used to it. Okay, I think you've seen a couple of her skills, and if you even saw me walk in or saw me outside with her, you saw me display some skills. She's always using them. You may not notice it, but she's always using her skills. If I'm walking and she's at my right side, I say, with me. But typically, I don't even need to say it. She knows to walk at my right side at my pace. She's learning steps. So if I step on the first step, she knows that that's her cue, and she's going to do the same. And then we work on staying at the same pace. She takes a step when I take a step, as not to pull her veteran or be lagging behind. Laying, you know, down and sit. There you go. Good job. Good girl. Having her ears and her paws touched, being able to rest is a skill we do. Let me see if I can show you rest. She can get kind of dramatic on this one. She has a favorite side. I have to keep remembering which side she favors for that. But we're just now starting to teach her to go to her side and actually rest. So if we're out in a busy place and it's time for her just to get some time and relax, we'll teach her to rest and go to her side and just be calm. She's showing me her displeasure over that gentle leader right now. Yeah, she just tries to pull at it. So she does, you know, the several skills, even going to the bathroom. When I take her out, I tell her to get busy, and she knows that's her cue and her opportunity to go to the bathroom. She knows when I say here that she needs to come to me and check in. She knows that if she has a toy and I need her to let it go, then I'll give her the cue for that, and she lets it go. So they are constantly learning skills, everyday life skills, that they're going to need with their veteran. She is not yet to learning any skills such as the PTSD or the very specific mobility, because she's 5 months old. So right now she's just learning how to manage herself and do very basic skills that she'll need, and we'll continue to build on that. This is my daughter and Stone, as she was teaching her to walk to the right side to be with me. And so my daughter's giving her some kibble there as she walked. So why do I volunteer? I volunteered first. My daughter was very eager to work with the dogs, and then I got involved and started praying about a purpose. My daughter started high school. She's my only daughter, and I thought, I have a little bit of time. What can I do to give back and make my life purposeful? And so as in praying about it, John 15:3, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's what a veteran does by serving on our behalf. So they have a valid need, and we have the ability to help. And so I did some research. I figured out how these dogs help, listen to veterans themselves, share that. And I've even had a veteran who has one of the Puppy Jake dogs come up to me in a restaurant when they saw the belt and told me how much his life has changed. And that was pretty impactful to me. And of course, I love dogs. So finally, yes. I get asked this almost every day, will it be hard to give her up? Yes, it will be hard to give her up. So we continually remind ourselves of the reason that we're doing it and the job that she has to do. Thank you. So thank you for your support. The fact that you're interested is very encouraging to me and all of the fosters who invest a lot of time. So thank you for participating in this today in order to hear a bit about the foundation, about Ms. Stone. And I think together we can invest in our veterans in this way, in a way that I think saves lives when you have a dog who can be a companion and help them not only with their skills, but with PTSD. So that's it from me. So a little bit of Q&A. Yeah?
Is this program just in Iowa, or is it national?
Right now it is an Iowa-based program. We are based over in an office in Urbandale right by the Homemakers. Although it's not just Iowan veterans who can apply, other veterans can apply.
Is, when you're taking the puppy out, are people not allowed to touch them? Because I hear people say, don't touch the dog in training. What's that?
Yeah, good question. How to interact with the dog. So she's wearing a bandana today. When she wears her bandana, she can be pet. It's still really good to ask, can your dog, you know, have pets? And be told yes, and then it's fine. The best way to pet a dog, even if they're only in their bandana, is their back. The reason you typically don't want to pet a service dog's face, even if you're allowed to pet them, is because they need to keep their focus on their veteran. And if you're petting their face, you're getting in their way, you're distracting them from their veteran. So petting on the back is perfect. If they're wearing the vest, I didn't bring it in, but she has the typical vest that says, please do not pet me, I'm working. She should not be pet. And generally even asking isn't going to be helpful because they're generally needing to be working at that time, working whether they're training or working whether they're actually with their veteran at that point. So if you're just talking to a veteran and they're, you know, kind of relaxing, or any other service dog, feel free to ask. But just know that that vest typically means that they are needing to keep their attention on whoever they're serving. What other questions?
You said she's a mix. What is that?
She is a lab retriever mix. She's the second breed that way. And the reason they did that is because the retriever hair is long and full, and the veterans were having a little bit of difficulty caring for the hair. So they're such perfect breeds individually for service dogs. Mixing them together helped us deal with the hair.
And then maybe is there a perfect size? I noticed you said Shepherds, Labradors, and this one. Do you just use those three or particular size dogs?
We do right now just use those three, and they are all a common size. I personally have never asked that question, but I believe it would be because of the height they are to their veteran, the ability to reach the things they need to reach on behalf of the veteran, lights, handles, things like that. So the size is going to matter based on the skills we need them to do. That's a good question.
Now, when they age out of being able to do the therapy, will the veteran keep them?
Absolutely. So when they age out, meaning, you know, if they get older and they can no longer do all of their skills, they're still the companion. They're still serving that veteran, even if they can no longer do all of the skills they once did. So they are always with their veteran, even for that emotional support.
And so then they would ask for another dog? And
they could. They could apply for another dog at that point. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the blind, sometimes that happens. They get another dog.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Someone had a question over here. Maybe the same one. Go ahead. 2013. Yep. Becky Breach started it. And so there's a really good bio on our website. She has fantastic background and credentials. I believe she was an aide to Barbara Bush, I believe. So it's fun to read her bio if you get a chance. And I've been, you know, I just recently got to start talking to her about the program, and I'm excited. She's, you know, doing a nice job leading it, and she started it in 2013. She's with me 24/7. Yes, she goes to work, she goes to church, she goes to the stores. She does really good at church. She actually has gotten into the habit since she's gone from the first time, you know, from day one. When the music starts, she just lays down. She, you know, is very calm. She's kind of, well, she'll do this a little bit, like maybe if I sit up or then I lay back down, I might be able to get a little bit more kibble out of you. But she's pretty good. She'll usually just lay down and go to sleep at my feet during church. And at work, she sleeps all day. So she knows, she's been trained to just be under my desk on her blankets. If she gets restless, it's a long day. She gets restless, I give her a chew toy. She goes out throughout the day to get some water and go to the bathroom and just get a little bit of fresh air. But yep.
Mm-hmm.
So she will not eat out of a bowl as long as she's in the program. When she goes to her veteran, the veteran can choose whether to allow her to eat out of a bowl. Like the veteran may choose to let her eat one meal out of the bowl and then the rest from his or her hand. That'll be up to them. Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, at the age that we bring shelter dogs in, it's such a new component of our program, I don't have the answer for you on that. I do know that I've met the three that are coming in, they are young, on the younger end, like 1 to 2, you know, up to 1, maybe 2 years old, I believe. So they still are on the younger end, because also we want to give longevity to the veteran. So if we start a younger dog, one, they're easier to train, not as quite as set in their ways, but two, you know, if we give an older dog to a veteran, they may only have so many years of service from that dog. So I'm going on in my assumptions for that one. But service dogs are really new to our program. I'm excited to see how that goes. I love the win-win aspect of that one. No, because she's so she asked if I continue to feed during work. I don't. She's typically sleeping. When we go outside, she's getting kibble because she's walking to my side to the stairs or the elevators. If she's doing stairs, she's getting rewarded. When she goes to the bathroom, she's getting rewarded. So whenever she's out and about with me, she's getting rewarded. But generally, she needs to stay under my desk sleeping. Eventually, as she gets older, even up here, she would be laying down and falling asleep or just being calm. She wouldn't even be getting kibble right now. But at 5 months, I'm giving her a pass. Good girl. Yes?
If you're at work all day and she's not getting that piece of kibble, how does she get her full of kibble?
Yeah. So how do I make sure she gets enough nutrition through her kibble if I'm not feeding during the workday? So in the morning is really important for us. So she gets her peanut butter Kong, full of peanut butter. We train so that she's getting a good amount of food in the morning. If for some reason we can't train in the morning, I give her a treat ball. And that's just a ball full of the kibble. She sounds like a destruction of my house is happening. But she, you know, kicks it around the room and it falls out. So she's actively involved in how to get that food from the bowl. And then through the day, every time we're going to the bathroom 3 times, you know, we're up. If I have to go somewhere in the office, she gets up and she's getting kibble. And then the evening. So it's important also in the evening that I'm training, that she's out and about with me and I'm just constantly giving it to her. If for some reason we got through a whole day and did not get through 3.5 cups of food, then I, again, will give her maybe a treat puzzle to get the rest of it in her so that she's actively getting that. But every day she is absolutely getting her nutrition in various, you know, we just make sure in various ways we make sure that happens. Yeah. We'll do 2 last questions real quick. I'm sorry. Yes, she barks. Eventually, I'm sure she won't. But when she plays, you know, she barks. She's still pretty little. When she, you know, sees out the window, and it's probably more because of my other dogs than it is her. But yeah, she does bark. And eventually, she won't. We'll train that through the program. You know, she'll know to be quiet. But she typically doesn't, though, at any other time unless she's around my other dogs.
Do you
Maybe it's because I just keep kibble in her mouth. I don't know. You want to be the last question? Yeah. Yeah, good question. I work at Wells Fargo. And I work out there by the Jordan Creek office. And I'm one of four dogs in our building that are Puppy Jake dogs. So an admin across the hall who is my Puppy Jake lifeline. We have two on our floor and then two throughout the other floors who are different stages of the program. And Wells Fargo is extremely supportive of us doing this. We have a lot of community support coming out of our company, and this is just one of many ways that we're able to do that. The only requirement is that at work she needs to wear the vest to show herself as a service dog. So thank you again. Thank you for your time and your support.